Hello and welcome back to a brand new season of Buzz Behind Sports. On today's episode, we had with us the very esteemed Mr. Nishad Pai Vaidya, somebody who's ranged from being a commentator to a media manager of the Gujarat Titan teams in the successful campaign that they've had. His interview was very informative as he spoke about things starting from the future of Test cricket in today's scenario to the upcoming World Cup, how the T20 cricket is going to globalize the sport. It was a great, informative and very fun. And that's Nishant Pai Vaidya for you. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Buzz Behind Sports, an ISM initiative. I'm your host Gershom, and today I have with us Mr. Nishad Pai Vaidya, somebody who's done a lot of work in the sports industry, ranging from being an anchor to a commentator, and his latest works being a media manager for the Gujarat Titans in their successful campaign. Without much further ado, I would like to introduce Mr. Nishad Pai Vaidya. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, Gershom, thank you so much for having me on the show. And yes, it's going to be great talking about sport. And I think the name is perfect. You know, like we've got Buzz Behind Sport, right? And the buzz never keeps going down, does it? It's always buzzing. I think this is what the industry is all about.
Right. I'm so glad to have you here, sir. Yeah. And to start off, before I get into a lot of technical questions, and let me just say I have a lot of them lined up, but I just want to know one thing, and that just caught my attention initially.
Sure.
Went through your profile. You are by education a law graduate.
Yeah.
So this decision to get into sport, was that always there, or is that something that happened, you know, in the middle of your lawyer education or your degree, where you realized this is not my forte and I have to get into sport? So how did that whole thing come into place?
So it actually happened in the middle of my law school, and I was in my third year.
Right.
And it's sometimes so fascinating that, you know, you take one small decision and you make one small move,
right?
And a lot of things change, and they call it the butterfly effect. Like a butterfly flaps its wings, maybe it's a small ripple that's caused, and you know, it's got long-term implications. And I think that's exactly what happened to me. And so just cutting back, going back to 2010, I remember I was doing my law internship at the Bombay High Court,
right?
You know, in one of the law firms. And that's when I realized this is not for me. I've always been interested in sport, particularly cricket. I used to love playing. Obviously, I didn't have the talent, so which is why I'm here. but I didn't have the talent to move ahead. But at the same time, I had a lot of knowledge, and I used to speak, I used to write. And then I somewhere decided that, you know, I've got to do something about it, and I have to act, because if I just go with the flow, what's going to happen is the society, or call it society, call it the mindsets that everyone is conditioned to, you'll go along that one path. And that path was taking me to be one lawyer. It's a settled path, but I think I would have been a mediocre lawyer because my heart was not in it.
Right.
And I was doing my internship then, and third year student, and it just got to a point where, you know, you wake up in the morning and you dread going to work.
Right.
And that's not something that I wanted to do all my life. I mean, wake up in the morning and 80% of your day, if it's going to be just dreading what you're doing, it's not what it is all about. So I remember I used to go to the office. I used to feel sleepy in the morning. Then after lunch, I used to feel sleepy, and my excuse used to be because I had lunch. It's like, you know, ye nahi chalega. This is not going to go. So I just decided I'm going to act on it, and I started writing about cricket.
Okay.
And the World Cup was coming up. I thought, you know, just try and use the power of the internet. I started my blog, and it's amazing how when you make a decision, you know, things fall into place. And when you have got the single-minded devotion or a thought, then you start finding avenues, which I did. And within a couple of months, I was writing for a very good website, and things just started there.
Right.
So I think it all boils down to that one decision.
Right. So, so this was something that you followed as a passion up until your law graduation. And that's when, you know, a click of mind and then you got into this, is what you're saying?
No. So this was in the middle of my law school, exactly in the middle.
Right.
Like we've got 10 semesters because it's a 5-year course. I was 5 semesters in. And then this happens.
Right.
But even then I was very clear I want to work in sport.
Right.
People around me didn't believe me. I mean, family obviously was skeptical. Like, you know, what's going to happen? You know, how's it going to work? You're being educated at one of the premier law schools in the country. But here's what I decided. I'm going to be consistent. And fortunately, I had a mentor who guided me through that. And for the last 2.5 years of my college, I only started writing on cricket.
Yeah.
And I was published. I had good number of articles going on a good website. Fortunately, I made my television debut then as well, because I started being noticed on the internet.
Right.
And I made my YouTube debut. So there was a body of work. It was very clear that I'm going to finish my law school.
Right.
And then I'm going to get into this full time.
Right.
Meanwhile, while I was completing my education, I continued working on the side.
Right.
So it built a good foundation for me by the time
I finished
my graduation.
So I think what you're trying to tell me is that there's never a right time. And if you have that belief in you, you're anytime going to make it. So you also spoke a little bit about how your family, were a little skeptical, which is obvious in an Indian, family. But what I want to bring in is, because you were focusing on cricket, it's a vast ocean out there as cricket. And as somebody, personally, if I have to ask you, as somebody who's trying to make it in the cricketing world, initially you already have a path, as you said, a settled path. You know, you're getting into a law school, you're doing good. You're going to get a good job, a well-paying job. At that moment, what is that mental, thought process that goes in for you to think that, it's okay if it's big, but I believe in myself, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to carve a whole niche for yourself, like you've done in the last few years. But initially, before, now that you're sitting here, you can tell that, it all worked out great. But at that moment, doesn't it look, very not sure as to how this is going to pan out? Because, initially, I'm sure you didn't have an opportunity to go there and work, nobody called you and said, do this. But for you to build a whole, a picture for yourself, how did that come into existence?
So firstly, I must say, yes, family would have been skeptical, but I had 100% support.
Right.
So I was very fortunate in that sense. There were times in the initial years when I was low, I didn't want to continue, didn't want to go, but they were more invested in the sense that, you can't. Now you've started, you have to go ahead. We see the passion, we see everything you're doing. I think what really works is the realization that it is very important to turn up every day.
Right.
Turn up to do stuff every day.
Consistency.
And it's the consistency. And ultimately, it's not always the most talented people who make it.
Right.
I mean, the most talented do. But provided they're consistent, they're disciplined, provided they have a whole lot of things.
Right.
That, as such, doesn't come in the definition of talent.
Right.
So, for me, it was very clear that I'm going to turn up every day, irrespective. And that's something that I follow even today. Obviously, it's not a journey that's linear. It's a journey that has a lot of ups and downs. You will have doubts at various points. I mean, even the greatest players have doubts.
Right.
They may be the greatest and they've proven themselves, but they have doubts.
Right.
It's all about turning up at the, turning up every day,
right,
turning up for whatever you do, educating yourself, turning up for your shoots, turning up for, all the work that you have to do. One by one, little by little, you do it.
Right.
It's not like, you're going to jump from one side of Sydney to the other and cross over the Sydney Harbour Bridge. You've got to walk.
Walk through it.
And it's all those small and little steps that ultimately add up. And when you're young, I must tell you this, because a lot of youngsters will be listening to this podcast.
Yes.
As you get older, you get more experience, which is a good thing, which is also not a good thing, because then you start getting more skeptical.
Uh-huh.
You get a lot more knowledge. You start looking at more hurdles. When you're young, when you're 20, 21, you don't have a lot of that knowledge, which is a good thing, because you don't see those hurdles.
Right.
So all that you have is your belief and your passion.
Uh-huh.
And if that is strong enough and you don't see the hurdles, you're so clear in your mind that you're going to produce some fantastic work.
Right.
So as a youngster, I would say just dream.
Right.
It is so important to dream and to have that inculcated at a young age.
Right.
Because you're not looking at the hurdles.
Right. And you spoke a lot about consistency and, you know, talent. So that brings us, you know, consistency also means grabbing opportunities. And one thing that comes to mind is where talent meets opportunity, which is the, you know, subtitle for the IPL. So talking about your career in IPL, you know, you started off as a media manager for the IPL as a whole. And
I actually started off even before that at Gujarat Lions, which was there a team for 2 years. I was just there for the first year. And that was my break. And then I moved on to
the IPL. And then you came to Gujarat Titans, the next franchise as well. So my question for you is...
And ironically, I'm not Gujarati, so...
But what I want to ask you is, so, you know, working for the IPL as a whole, as a media manager, and working with Gujarat Titans or Gujarat Lions for that matter, for a specific team, what are the different kind of challenges? Or is it pretty much, you know, a similar kind of, you know, from your point of view, are you... facing them in a similar way, working with IPL as a whole and as a team specifically, or is there different challenges that arises?
No, they are very different. I must tell you, it's very different. I think when it comes to franchise, there's a lot of different work to be done, and the IPL as a whole as well. So I think the IPL as a whole, when I did those 5 years, they were incredible years, you know, with all my colleagues who are at the BCCI, incredible. And I think the amount that I learned from each one of them, it's phenomenal. You know, be it my seniors, you know, who I used to report to, or even my colleagues. And I think that environment was fantastic because it is one that really encouraged learning. And I got in as a media manager, but I wasn't told that, you know, this is what you are. They encouraged us to learn different things, like encouraged us to learn sponsorship, encouraged us to learn, you know, the commercial side of things, the operational side of things. So by the time I finished my role and I was ready to move on to Gujarat Titans, I had a bank of knowledge that was there because of my experience. They had, you know, they had told us, they had taught us so many things at the IPL. And at the IPL, my role a lot had to do with broadcast, where it was on match day deciding who's with the team player, team managers and all, who's going to go on air and everything, coordinating the press conferences, the presentations and all those interviews and media commitments at the end of a match. And it was maintaining a balance through the whole season, seeing that, you know, one particular player is not overburdened, knowing which player talks what language. Franchise is very different. So franchises, you have to deal with the media on the outside. Who get in touch for interviews, and there are so many requests, your phone keeps buzzing. And then when you're in a franchise, again, you cannot be cocooned in just one role. You've got to help out in a lot of things. And I think that Gujarat Lions experience was very critical for me because I was only 25 and I got this break and I managed to adjust, but it also taught me a lot. So my seniors at the time over there, they allowed me to do a lot of things. Like, for example, the team manager used to tell me, you come and help me out in a lot of things.
And the learning never stops.
And I think that's the best thing about sports, that you just get in and you have that learning mindset. And that's something we learn on the field as well. That learning mindset, because every day then can be a little different than the previous day. And so Gujarat Titans, by the time I came over here, things had changed because we know that the media in 2016 to 2020 to 2023, very different.
Very different.
Because social media has evolved. Back then, we just had Facebook Live that had started. By this time, 22, 23, YouTube had grown a lot more. Instagram is the dominant force. Twitter had gone down. Things had changed. So we also had to change our media strategies accordingly. Our strategy of approaching the media or obliging requests was very different. So yeah, it has been a very diverse experience in that sense.
Talking about Gujarat Titans, to carry on that, I want to ask a couple of technical questions, because honestly, as a viewer, you know, when I was watching two new teams got into the entire tournament, and they tried to make it a level playing field by having them get a few players before the auction as well. And Gujarat Titans, I think in that way, were really lucky to get in Rashid Khan and Hardik Pandya.
So,
to the initial year,
Shubman, don't forget Shubman.
Shubman as well, you know, the future of Indian cricket for sure. But my question is, so as somebody who works in the back end, right, what do you think was going through, you know, as the entire team? And because honestly, even though the players have played for other franchises as well, this is a whole new ball game. You know, there's a whole new way they have to play the game. And Hardik Pandya prior to that didn't have a lot of captaincy experience as well. And you've roped in Hashish Nehra as the coach as well. So that was some combination that was doing some talk. You did have some big names in the team. But from the technicality point of view, from the on-the-field point of view, you know, nobody expected Gujarat to go all the way, if I'm being completely honest. So how did that come into existence? And, you know, how, were there any instances where, you know, you knew while, you know, during the tournament that this team had it in them, you know, to go all the way?
You know, it's really fascinating you bring up this question because... Initially, when those players were picked, I wasn't a part of Gujarat Titans as yet. So in February, early February, I got the offer. I accepted it. This was 2022.
Right.
And then it continued for 1 month, at least February. I was still finishing my commentary responsibility.
Okay.
So I committed to joining in March.
Right.
By then, the setup was together and the auction was done. But when I joined in March, we were getting a lot of flack.
Right.
Like a lot of flack, you know, it was because a lot of people thought on paper, this team is not going to make it. What kind of combination is this? Because you look at, fine, Hardik Pandya, fantastic. He had not played for 4 months. He had been through an injury.
And he hasn't captained before that.
He hasn't captained. There were doubts about that. But then there was talk about, you know, you've got David Miller, who's done well in international cricket, gets picked in the second round of the auctions, but has not had a good run in the IPL for a long time. Then there was also, Ridhiman Saha, he came in as the wicketkeeper. On paper, it did look, and I'll be honest, I didn't think about the result at the time. Because, you know, when you're starting off a franchise, there's a lot of excitement. I think the excitement was that, you know, let's enjoy the journey and let's go ahead and do it. Because we were on the management side of things, we had to look after different other things.
Right.
Cricketing side, we were just hoping it's not in our control.
Right.
Jo field pe hoga, wo hoga. You know, that was not in our control. But what really struck me was, you know, first game we won, second game we won, the third game when Rahul Tevatiya smashed 2 sixes of the last 2 balls,
right,
you just thought, you know what, there's something going, there's something about this team, they just don't know, you know, they just don't know how to give up, and which is a fantastic thing, I think, and that continued in the season. We were in dire straits in a lot of matches, and invariably someone would put up their hand and say, I'm here. And at various points, those people stood up. I think in the first 9 wins, there were 8 different player of the matches.
Yes.
Something like that. And against Chennai Super Kings in Pune, sea of yellow, as expected. That game, everyone thought we're going to lose. David Miller scores a brilliant knock. Rashid Khan bats. It's the first time he's captaining in a game because Hardik was injured. Then against Sunrisers Hyderabad at Wankhede Stadium. Last over, 22 runs needed. We get there with 2 sixes being hit off the last 2 balls. And I think, that's what. We won those incredible games. And there was just so much belief.
Right.
So much belief. And it is... Then we just started, you know, hang on. There is something happening here. And we are a part of something incredible that's potentially going to... blossom into something that would be amazing. And I think it's one of the biggest blessings of my life that I was there at that time.
Right.
And I saw it all happen. And it just came to a point. And I think the moment where I thought this team has it is not when they won one of those games.
Right.
In fact, it's when we lost one of the games.
Right.
And because it's very important to know how to handle failures along with success.
Yes.
Handling failures will teach you a lot more. And this is what happened. Our team was getting 16, 17, 18 runs in the last over.
Right.
Against Mumbai Indians, we needed 9 runs.
Right.
And we fell short by 2-3 runs.
Right.
Last ball, 6 needed. and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Daniel Sams bowled a brilliant last over.
Yeah.
There was obviously quiet. You know, people were not, we were not happy. And I was sulking. I went to my, we were in a bubble.
Right.
I was sulking. I went to the hotel, got into my room and, you know, literally sulking and, you know, and saying things that I cannot say here. And then my phone rings and it's our head of content. And she tells me, come up to the team room. And I said, mujhko nahi aana and a few other things, which I can't say here. And, you know, literally I was cranky.
Right.
And then he said, you don't have a choice. She said, you don't have a choice. Everybody's been called. The captain said it. The coach has said it. So Nehra and Hardik basically said. So I went and I saw everybody relaxing.
Right.
That day they decided they're going to relax. And I was still sulking. And I was just standing there and Ashish Nehra comes up to me and says, kya tu to sabse zyada depressed hoga yahan pe.
Right.
Like he knew I was the most depressed. And I was like, yeah. And then he's like, listen, it's a game, happens. But they dealt with it so well. And then I thought that this is something different about this team.
Right.
Yes, they may have lost, but they handled it very well. The body language was fantastic. The confidence when they turned up for the next game was even better.
Right.
And after that, it was a title winning run.
Right.
And even in the qualifier one, I think 16 were needed of the last over. There was a certainty when we were watching in the management that, you know, we're going to get it. And that's what David Miller does. Bang, bang, bang. Three sixes. Done.
Game over. Yeah.
Yeah, game over. And it was, I think, at that moment that I realized that we are a part of something incredible and we're going to win. Right. That day when we lost, actually.
You talk about confidence and, you know, even during a loss, you say they were really, and even that joke cracked by Ashish. I really feel, you know, from a viewer point of view, from somebody who's watching on the TV, like, you know, Hardik just oozes confidence. Like, you know, even in circumstances where you as a viewer are thinking that, you know, you're not going to make it, but Hardik just there, you know, is there, I'm here. Yeah. And that coupled with Ashish Nehra's, you know, stats and his analysis of the game, you know, sometimes during the mid game, was sure very instrumental in the successful run. What I want to ask you right now, because you spoke a lot about Rahul Tevatiya and, you know, Shubman Gill coming into the picture, where they were very young players and who, specifically these two players, found a lot of success with Gujarat Titans. So from a media manager perspective, when you're seeing, because I'm sure a lot of these Indian cricketers are already well-versed with how to handle the media and, you know, they've had a lot of experience. But for somebody who's getting into the picture, you know, somebody as Rahul Tevatiya, you know, when he, I think he smashed Sheldon Cottrell for 5 sixes just before that.
In the 2020
season. But like I'm saying, you know, for somebody who's not very well-versed with the media, how is your role, you know, in helping them how to handle the media or, you know, what to say and what not to say? You know, were there any instances where you had to, you know, basically tell them what has to be said and stuff like that?
So see, for Shubman's an India cricketer, so right. He sort of knew. Tevatiya has also been around because his IPL debut was in 2014.
Right.
So you don't really have to tell them.
No,
much.
But it was a new, you know.
So they were the younger players. Yes, you just give them confidence rather than telling them what to do.
Right.
You know, it is more about giving them confidence because they may be a bit cautious. Some of them would say, and this is a thing that I faced in Gujarat Lions as well.
Right.
Those who get into their first or second IPL who haven't had a lot of media attention, okay, they may just come and say, oh my God, what are they going to ask? Am I going to be right? So your job at that time is to just to make them feel confident,
okay,
make them feel comfortable. Look, like my go-to line generally would be that tu 150 kilometer ki ball marta hai, ye kya cheez hai?
Yeah.
You know, that would be my right thing. Or I would say, you know, you bowl at so and so this, you got this fellow out, what's this?
This, right.
Then they feel comfortable. I think it's important to put that into perspective. That one, that they are doing things that others aren't, majority aren't, and they're doing it well.
Okay.
And secondly, that in comparison, this is a lot lesser.
Yeah.
And very, it's not as difficult
as what you do on the
field. Yeah. The other thing you can do, and which is a strategy that I applied, is if there is a junior who's doing a press conference for the first time and they are not confident, try and get a senior along with him.
Right.
And in that, what happens is that the seniors are also protective.
Right.
So if you tell a senior that, look, this youngster is doing a press conference, can you sit along with him? There'll be questions for you as well. It'll be good for his confidence. To date, I have not heard a senior say no to that.
Right.
They'll be like, oh, is it? Okay, I'll be there. So it is also a lot, it's a lot of brotherhood in that sense, right, that this youngster is going to start, you know, facing the media.
Right.
I think me being there is going to help. So that also reflects a lot on the teams.
Right.
And if, say, by chance, the seniors are not available for their, you know, maybe fitness commitment, or they have to go and go to the gym or something, ask one of the coaches.
Right.
They will definitely come. So there are different ways. Some juniors, you allow them in the first go. Sometimes you get a senior along
with them.
Yeah. Right. And I think that really helps. That eases them as well.
Right.
It's a lot like, you know, batting with that senior in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
You try to, yeah. That's great. I want to ask you now, come to your competitive stint. You know, you've been a competitor for quite some time now. You've covered a lot of tournaments ranging from the Under-19 World Cup to the Asia Cup. And you were also commenting in the TNPL, right?
No, TNPL, I was media manager.
You were the media manager of TNPL. But you had some international tournaments that you've commentated. So in terms of commentary, I just want to ask you, like, has it changed over the years? And, you know, we see a lot of different kind of commentators, who some people are out there and, you know, calling each ball, or some people are very more calm and composed. So how do you look at this whole commentary? Because honestly, from a personal point of view, I feel, you know, for somebody who loves the game, to be given an opportunity to sit there and watch the game, and while also talking about the game and while getting paid to do what you love, is a great opportunity. So what I want to ask from you, for the audience here, is how was your whole experience to start off with? And also, as I said, any certain ways that you prefer to do call a game, or, you know, how does the whole and also how does the whole prequel to that, you know, to the build up to the match, how do you prepare, is something that you could touch upon.
Okay, so, you know, commentary, it depends on the medium. It's
right.
Not, there is no one formula. And because if you're going to commentate when you can see a game,
right,
that's different.
Right.
And there are visuals. If you're commentating on radio or just audio, that is different.
Right.
But that's where you have to call the action a lot more.
Right.
Like, this is what's happened. The ball's come this way. He's played it that way.
Right.
But when it's on TV, you don't necessarily, I think, have to call it. I've done more audio.
Right.
So my experience is towards the audio side of things. Then you also have to look at the kind of audience that you're catering to.
Right.
One of the advice that really helped me, and this was in an interview actually, and this was from Danny Morrison.
Right.
And Danny Morrison, we know, what a fantastic,
very lively character,
very lively, fantastic person, I must say. You know, one of the best people I've met in this industry, and so kind, and, you know, so generous in terms of giving his time, talking to you. And I remember he gave me an interview back in 2014, and this is one thing I noticed. If you hear Danny Morrison commentate on Test cricket,
right,
he's a very different Danny Morrison.
Yeah.
And you see Danny Morrison in a T20, he's very different. Why? He knows his audience.
Right.
And I think he is a very smart guy in that sense. And he told me, know your audience,
right,
and go accordingly. If you look at him in Test cricket,
right,
he comes across as someone who reads the game brilliantly.
Right.
In T20 cricket, he makes it more entertaining.
Right.
He simplifies it.
Right.
And that's a brilliant range to have. And I really enjoy not just his commentary, but his presence, you know, whenever
right.
I get to meet him, because he is that kind. He's that smart. And you can, when you talk to him off the mic, you can really understand that. So I think that advice really helped me. And then but the best judge of audience is, of course, your producer.
Right.
They will tell you, you have to go by what they tell you. So whenever I've done audio commentary, I go by what my producer tells me and follow that, because right. that's what the objective is. And inculcate that in your own style.
Right.
Like,
trying to bring in your personality.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, get those guidelines and do it in your own style, because you cannot be someone else. And
right.
the other people also, they cannot be you. And identify what your USP is.
Right.
And you know, build on that. Okay. I think that is, build one skill that is really fantastic.
Right. So, commentator, and you've also written a couple of books.
Yeah.
I had the, you know, honor of reading one of them. I read an excerpt from your book, Twice Upon a Time, where you've touched upon the famous wins of the Indian cricket team over West Indies and the England team. So, I'm going to go ahead and have an assumption that your favorite format is a test format.
Yeah, it is.
So, what I want to get into a technicality of the game as of today. In simple terms, where do you see test cricket? But on a more advanced term, I would like to say, with, you know, the rise in franchise cricket, I'm saying it takes up to 6 to 8 months in a cricketer's year, and to bring in, and there's a lot of talks about, you know, the financial aspect of test cricket is not as rewarding as somebody who plays a couple of months in IPL or any other leagues around the cricket. But talking from a perspective of the lover of the game and where the true sense of cricket is played in test cricket, what are your views on the future of test cricket and anything that can be done differently than what has been, you know, being done, you know, as the WTC cycle and the introduction of the World Test Championship? Anything different that you think that can be done for the viewers and for the players to show more passion and more interest in test cricket?
You know, it's interesting that you ask me this question, because just a day before this recording, I in fact put out a post on LinkedIn on this, on the T20 and the test balance. And as we know recently that South Africa are conducting SA20, and for the New Zealand series, they are sending a second string test side. Now, there is a lot being said. Now, I'm going to cover a couple of points. Firstly, T20 tournaments are essential for cricket, for its financial future.
Right.
You know, if we are going to have cricket survive and become a bigger sport, it's T20 cricket, the shorter format. It is the truth.
Right.
And it's time everyone embraces this. I'm a purist. I love my test cricket. But T20 cricket has made my life.
Right.
As a sports professional, I will always be grateful for T20 cricket. And it is something that not only creates opportunities for the players or support staff, but also for sports professionals like us.
Okay.
I wouldn't have imagined that I would have been a media manager of a cricket team.
Right.
You know, back when I started off, it happened. It happened because of T20 cricket. And all these opportunities, it contributes to the economy.
Right.
And it creates a lot of employment opportunities. That's one. Secondly, they all talk about, you know, test cricket, its primacy. Now, someone like a South Africa sending a second string side, but, you know, they also have to be very practical.
Right.
How is cricket going to sustain in South Africa?
Right.
T20 cricket, SA20 was a brilliant success in its first season. It is imperative for South African cricket that it continues. And I think for any other country, T20 cricket, if it brings in the revenues, why not?
Right.
That is what it is.
I mean, sorry to interrupt, but I feel, what does the role of, you know, a much more successful cricket boards, you know, for example,
I'm coming to that.
Okay,
I'm coming to that. I'm just building up.
Right.
So a little bit of a lawyer thing you have to allow me, because I've got that education.
That,
so I'm building up the argument.
Right.
And the next one would be the point that players.
Right.
Now, there are some players who are being told, why are they preferring T20 cricket? Why not do this? Why not do that? I have a simple question. When you get a better job offer, don't you consider it?
Yeah.
You know, when you get a better pay package, of course, we all are going to jump at that.
Right.
And remember that players have shorter shelf lives.
True.
You know, they will retire at 37, 38.
Yeah.
If you are exceptionally fit, maybe 40.
Yeah.
But people like us, some of our best years will come in the 40s.
Right.
You know?
Professionally.
Professionally.
True.
For them, it's 40 over. Is when they are starting over life again, a lot of
right.
them. And in the past, when money was lesser in the game, a lot of them have fallen on hard times.
Okay.
So if today players think that they can secure their future, their family's future, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I will tell them, go ahead, you're getting a better paycheck. So why is it that we cast those moralistic arguments on them?
Right.
You know, when those aren't the same standards we are going to apply in our lives.
Right.
I think pursuit of wealth is fine. Yeah. It's fantastic. Why not? Good for them. Good for us. The more they play, the more even I will get the opportunity to do my commentary.
The game grows.
The game grows. So, T20 cricket is also taking it to different countries. Now, coming to the boards.
Right.
Yes, test cricket is the ultimate. We want to preserve it. But as it stands, there are only three or four countries for whom test cricket may be very viable.
Right.
And they field their best teams.
Right.
Moving ahead for test cricket to grow or to continue. Yes, these boards may have to take initiatives and to ensure that not just the game sustains, but the first class setup also continues, which I think in India, we are fine.
Yeah.
India, you know, there are always, you know, one of the pet peeves also has been that most people love to criticize the BCCI, right. But I must say that the way the game is run by them, it's fantastic.
Right.
You've got a good first class setup. It is stable. Players are coming through. There is a good national academy.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of initiatives. There is so much good work that's been done.
Right.
And it has continued. And my simple thing would be compare it to other sport. I think, you know, cricket is in very good health.
Right.
So that is going to go on. At the world level, there has to be something done.
Right.
ICC and all will have to see what needs to be done in their sense that test cricket as such goes on, and that they also find that players from countries where test cricket isn't very viable, they get compensated in a better way.
I think it just all comes down to more money going in. I think I read a report very recently where I said, you know, the ICC's annual revenue that's been cut up, I think BCCI takes a huge chunk. And you did talk about how BCCI is doing great, you know, national wide, that they're having such initiatives, but don't you think they have a role in probably nurturing the Afghanistan board, or probably the Bangladesh, or even for that matter South Africa, even though they've been here in the picture for a long time, their test cricket is suffering. So do you think any thing that could be done by BCCI or say ECB or even the ACB, you know, because those are the, you know, three big names when it comes to the boards, maybe in terms of monetary help could be of any help, you know, in introducing a new life to the oldest form of the game?
See, firstly, for Afghanistan, BCCI have always been, India has been very supportive.
Yes.
They played their home series in India.
Yeah. And they're coming back again, right? If they're playing a T20 series.
Yeah. That's different. Yeah. But Afghanistan playing Ireland, Afghanistan playing someone else, West Indies, and all home series were held in India.
Yeah.
Now, talking about, say, South Africa, 2 years ago, when there was the Omicron COVID wave, India took the step to go and tour. They told, we are going to come and tour your country.
Right.
And that was a big plus.
Yeah.
So, out and out, I think those kind of things India keeps doing,
right,
and they will continue to do.
Right.
I think it is just that we set our standards so high. Now, let me give you a simple example. Back in the day when cricket was growing, who came to India's help? Who did?
True. Nobody.
Who built this game?
Right.
India did themselves.
Right.
And that is the truth. In fact, there were times when, you know, when India had to tour, they had to give bank guarantees to the other boards.
Right.
India didn't have the money.
Right.
India have come up the hard way, and they have built this system for themselves. And they have, so it's full credit. I think we have to be extremely grateful to the past players, past administrators who have taken us through those times. And we are looking at cricket the way it is here in India today.
Okay.
So it's very easy to sit back and say, you know, they should do this, they should do that.
Right.
But in a lot of ways, they have already done. And when they do, I think that's also another thing where people don't acknowledge that. They're like, yeah, they have to do it anyways.
Yeah, anyways,
but
right,
when they've done it, you have to also appreciate the fact that it's been done.
Okay.
So there are different ways in which you can help out other boards. But again, it's like this, right? That you can help someone run their house, or you can help someone, or you can advise them, you can play a part, but you can't go and run their house.
Right.
Yeah, it's
still
a bit
up
like,
to them how they
It's up to them. It's up to them. It's up to them to find a way, just the way India did.
Right.
Times are different, yes, But ultimately, people do find a way. Right. I think
and,
that's...
And I think most of it has to come with the transition. You know, when a lot of teams are transitioning, India, as you said, is blessed with great, you know, domestic circuit. So as is England and as is Australia. But other than that, you know, a lot of teams, especially because you talk about South Africa, once they had this, you know, they had the dream team with Steyn, de Villiers, Graham Smith, JP Duminy, and, you know, Kagi Sarabara came much sooner, Monty Mockle, or, you know, the big names. But that time, I didn't think they had any problem, you know, in terms of, you know, surviving Test cricket. But I think post that, and once they had to bring in the new names, that's when I think, you know, a little bit of a thing happened where they couldn't bring in the people, the financial, you know, the more the people come, the more financial people will play. The players will play the game if the money comes in. So I think that's wherein, as you said, that boards, you know, that's where they need to step up and not expect somebody else to get in and help with them. But, you know, more so try and probably encourage in any way for a new player to take up Test cricket. So I do agree with you. There's no question.
See, with South Africa also, they had their own other issues.
Right.
And a lot of their players, they signed those Kolpak contracts and went to England.
Right.
So there was a talent drain that happened. And those are other factors as well. So, so every country will have those different issues. And it's up to you on your own to find the solution. You may get a bit of a help or advice from somewhere outside, a bit of a, you know, a helping hand,
right?
I would say, but then ultimately they have to know which areas they can do better.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So coming back to our own team, the Indian cricket team, your second book, Limitless, talks about the successful campaign of the 2007 World Cup. So I want you to talk a little bit about that, and also post 2007, barring 2011 and 2017, where India lifted Champions Trophy and the World Cup. 2013. Right. Post 2013 and 2011, we haven't been really able to, you know, successfully win an ICC tournament. And, you know, but you can't really say we've been playing bad, because we've honestly, looking at all those tournaments up until that game, up until that 45 minutes of bad cricket, we've honestly played really good cricket. So, you know, as from a viewer point of view, personally, I feel in India, the game has been given a bigger than life perspective. You know, it's almost a religion, and the players are almost gods and their icons, they're worshipped, right? But and this is all well and good, you know, for the players as well, gives them a lot of motivation and passion to perform. But it also puts in a lot of pressure, don't you think? Like it brings them, because honestly, there was this one picture, I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you've seen it, it's been making the rounds post the World Cup final. We saw Mitchell Marsh put his leg on the ICC trophy and it made a lot of rounds, and he just said, yeah, we won it, it's just a piece of metal. I didn't disrespect the game, it's just a piece of metal. But I don't think that would have been the case in India if India had won it. I think, you know, it would have been blown out of proportion. We would have been celebrating even today, I'm sure. I mean, we're disappointed. I think me and a couple of my content team, when we were talking about it before this, we were talking about how it still hurts. And, you know, but do you think there is a connection between the bigger than life picture and the, you know, inability to perform in knockout stages in ICC tournaments?
That's a little difficult to say.
Right.
Because I've been to a few of those games and I commentated on a couple of them. The only time I think India were really outplayed in a knockout game was against England in the T20 World Cup semi-final in 2022. Right. Otherwise, it's always been something that's happened. And even was outplayed, and 2023 World Cup final, if you look at the way India bowled in the first 10 overs, Travis Head played and missed, it was his day.
Right.
I was doing commentary, I thought we are just, you know, looking at a brilliant bowling performance and they just need that little bit of luck. And we were looking at Travis Head playing the innings of his life, but had he edged one of those balls,
it would have been a whole different game again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Australia could have been 47 for 4.
Yes.
And then we would have maybe had a different conversation right now.
Right.
So, somewhere that luck factor does matter. And I think, yes, India could have done a lot better in the 2023 World Cup final as well when they were batting, possibly.
Okay.
We can say that. But through the World Cup, it was a performance that we all as Indians can be very proud of.
True.
Having said that, I would also say that a lot of people, especially on social media, very quick to pass judgments, very quick to pass, their comments on, very easy to say they don't care, they don't do this, they play for money. And I think it's so simplistic to say that. You know, I also say one thing that more than us, it matters to these players.
Right.
Imagine your whole dream is to win the World Cup and it comes crashing down.
Right.
And you don't have a shot for the next 4 years. Yeah. In 4 years, you may not even be playing that game, some of them. Can you imagine how crushing that is for them?
Right.
Keep them aside. They may still deal with it. For their families, it's even tougher.
Yeah.
And that is something that a lot of our fans don't realize.
Right.
That for players, it does matter. And I've spent time with them. You've got to know how much it means to them.
Right.
And a lot of the times, if it looks like it doesn't mean to them, trust me, it's just a defense mechanism to keep themselves sane.
Right. No, because I don't think you can ever question the commitment of these players, honestly.
Commitment and how much they want it.
Right.
They want it more than us.
Right. I mean, it's not the commitment that you can question, but I'm just saying, what could you do different? And then you can, I think actually transition to the next question as well. The next World Cup, the T20 World Cup we have this year. What can India do differently this time? I mean, I don't think they have nothing to do during the group stages and also with a couple of really easy fixtures, barring Pakistan. As you said, they blow hot and cold depending on the day, barring that one game. And even if we lose that game, we have another three easy games to, so we're definitely making it to the knockouts. So hypothetically, let's say we're already there. And as you said, it's just a string of bad luck mixed with, just sometimes it doesn't work out. It's sometimes not your day. And maybe it's just, probably New Zealand has also had a similar kind of, thing in the ICC World Cups. But, you don't see the New Zealand public or the media going berserk.
Because they would go berserk if that happens to the All Blacks in rugby.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's the kind of passion that they show to rugby. But from a player's point of view and the coaching point of view, would you really do anything different this time around, or would you just stick to just seeing how it goes in the knockouts?
So I'm not a player or a coach, so it's very difficult to say that, but my only suggestion would be just go and play and enjoy. I think that will be, it's a very simplistic thing maybe to say, but I think it's very practical.
Right.
I would love to see them approach it the way India approached the 2007 T20 World Cup.
Right.
Keep the hang-ups aside, keep the pressure of expectations aside, just don't even have to think about it. I'm sure they've got their own mechanisms to deal with this.
Right.
But just go and enjoy. And I think it could pan out. In 2007, I wrote about that in Limitless, that India had a bad 50 over World Cup. The game was going through a bit of a tough time.
Okay.
But Indian players, they were picking up the pieces. And remember, some of those players, they were castigated so badly after that World Cup in the West Indies. Dhoni, his own house was attacked, which was under construction in Ranchi.
Right.
Those are the kind of things that they overcame back then. And he was able to build a team which didn't have the pressure of expectations and said that we will go and we'll play our cricket, we will have fun.
Right.
And
honestly, it's a little similar to the team we have today also. We're bringing a lot of new names as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of similarities to the 2007 World Cup, from the 50 over to the T20 and as well this year as well. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I think it's going to work out well at some stage. I don't know if it is this T20 World Cup.
Right.
And it's very difficult to say what they should do because quite frankly, before the 50 over World Cup, I didn't expect India to win so many games in a row.
Right.
But it happened.
Right.
2007.
I mean, there was also this talk that they had to lose one game, just to see.
Possibly, yes. And I think maybe if had India lost to say an England or a South Africa, possibly that thing is out of the way.
Right.
Sometimes it stays at the back of your mind that, we've not lost a game. What if?
Yeah.
So,
puts a little bit of pressure at least.
There would be pressure, no doubt.
Yeah.
And it's only human to feel the pressure.
True.
Because otherwise you wouldn't be human.
Right.
And there is no one way to say that this is what it should. But if Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma are playing the tournament, I surely hope for them that it comes out good. Right. Because what Rohit Sharma as a captain was, I think, chasing during this World Cup, and he played exceptionally well. I think as a captain, leading from the front, brilliant. He was chasing that legacy.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And Virat Kohli has never won a T20 World Cup.
Right.
If Rohit Sharma is captaining India in West Indies and the USA,
right,
he would be determined to get that legacy.
Right.
Virat Kohli will be determined to win that T20 World Cup. And during the last T20 World Cup, we saw that fire in his eyes, especially that innings against Pakistan.
True.
I remember doing commentary on that game, India 31 for 4. And just a couple of balls Virat had defended.
Right.
And I was off air. And I turned to my producer and I said, ye aaj out nahi ho raha.
Right.
I just saw something in his eyes. And I said, ye aaj out nahi ho raha. I don't know whether we are winning or losing, but we are in for something that's going to stand out.
Right.
And we saw that.
Yes.
And yeah, if they turn it on at the T20 World Cup, let's see.
Let's see. Well, let's hope for the best also. Talking about the T20 World Cup, we saw how it is for the Indian cricket team and, you know, what kind of an importance it plays. Talking about the entire world as a whole, if you're seeing 20 teams play this tournament for the first time ever, in a time where the World Cup is played by 8 teams or 9 teams, which is comparatively less, you take any other World Cups or matter, you know, the FIFA has 32 teams and, you know, every other sport has, you know, a lot of teams coming in. So this is a good step, I would say, in terms of getting in globalization, you know, getting in more teams to play the game, which is also similar to the point that you made. Even if we are getting more players into the game, it's because of T20 cricket.
Hmm.
So do you think that this has a connection with the Test cricket, you know, to get more teams in, and, you know, who knows how things might happen, you know, once they're in the system, we might see them getting a Test status and when, I mean, not in the near future, but, you know, it starts the process. So how important is it, you know, playing 20 teams for the globalization of cricket and for the growth of cricket as a whole?
It is extremely important, and it, the fact that it's going to be played in the USA, I think it's phenomenal for the game, because we are going to see cricket going to one of the biggest sporting markets.
Right.
It's going to take time to grow, but these are the steps that you have to take.
Right.
And that's why this is a very critical World Cup for cricket in general.
Right.
Test cricket is a long shot for most teams, but it's possible. Right. Afghanistan have shown that. Ireland have shown that. Afghanistan also made their debut at a T20 World Cup in 2010, and then they moved on to play Test cricket within 8 years. But Afghanistan is a freakish story. So let's keep that aside.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking to one of the Afghanistan players, he said, cricket hamare liye kuch nahi hai, humne to badi badi cheeze dekhi hai life. You know, they've seen tough times that we can't even imagine. Some of them don't feel the pressure,
right,
because they have seen pressure of a different kind,
right,
that I hope to God nobody gets to see.
True.
So let's keep Afghanistan aside. Ireland 2007 World Cup, good performance. They built on it. They were consistent, right, and they got there. But through all that, there's also a story of a Kenya,
yeah,
who did well in 2003. But then after that, their cricket just has gone down. Right. They don't even have... There was a time when they lost ODI status as well. So for Test cricket, it's going to take a lot of time for a lot of teams. And maybe some of them will make it through. We don't know. But this T20 World Cup is a big step for cricket in general. The fact that it's going to USA and it's backing up the creation of a Major League Cricket.
Right.
If it captures the audience of the Americans, who knows what this game can do?
Right.
We saw how football through the Major League Soccer created a buzz in the US.
True.
And it really did a lot for football in general.
Okay.
So I think for cricket, it is important to tap into those markets and see where it goes.
I'm sure the big names will help as well, you know, in the Indian team, and, you know, a couple of teams have really big names in the team. So I think that's also going to have a great effect on the market overall, right?
Yeah, it will. It will. And for now, it's going to get a lot of the expats.
Right.
Or a lot of the subcontinent origin people to watch the
initially.
Sport initially. And they are going to be your major audience. But over time, there has to be some way to capitalize on the market that's there in terms of the Americans or the the people who are who aren't from the subcontinent, right. who are in the who's in America. You've got so many communities.
Yes,
you know, tap into them, and when they start getting involved, I think that is when cricket will
grow. Yeah. I think this is a great first step.
And I think because it is possible, because if baseball can do it, baseball also takes that much time, but baseball is packaged so beautifully.
Right.
And I watch baseball, I enjoy it.
Right.
I think cricket can do something similar. It's going to take time.
Right.
But you've got to keep at it.
Yeah. And the great start at it as well.
Yeah.
The World Cup there. Being a media manager, you know, it takes a lot of skills and a lot of very specific skill sets that it takes to run the show, which I think would be great help to somebody who's looking for a career in sports. So your thoughts on what somebody who's looking for a career should do and should not do?
What people looking for a career in this should do is educate themselves.
Right.
And there is no substitute for that. Knowledge is power.
Right.
Knowledge is everything. Today, we aren't reading as much. We aren't absorbing as much. We are busy on our phones. We are busy on this thing, on distractions. I think it's important to educate yourself about sport. Keep having that learning mindset. And to learn how to deal with pressure. A lot of the times pressure is put on you because you are thinking of what other people will think. And that's what someone told me. Pressure is not, you know, if today you are told that you're going to go and you have no fear of failure in that sense, that nobody's going to say anything to you, you will not have pressure.
True.
You will go and you will do your thing the best you can.
Right.
In a media manager's role, there will be times when there will be pressure, but it's important to keep your calm. Yeah. Even if people around you are, you know, losing their calm, and it is very important, even if you aren't calm on the inside, fake it.
Right.
Fake it that.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Like there have been times as a media manager where I've been also threatened physically.
Wow.
You know, I was maybe just a few moments away from being punched, but I talked myself out of it.
Right.
Because I showed that I'm calm and I'm not scared.
Right.
So a lot of the times you will have to do that. But knowledge, building your knowledge is most important.
Right.
Building your network, that's a second thing. Today we've got the luxury of the internet, and I call it luxury because we can reach out to the world sitting in a corner at home.
Right.
And that is how I started. I started reaching out to people. Even today, I continue to reach out to people.
Right.
It has made the world smaller. So use those avenues very well. Try to reach out to people. And not everyone will respond, of course. It's
right. It's
not humanly possible. That's where one of my mentors gave me this formula. It's like when you're writing to people or when you're trying to reach out, some will, some won't. So what? Someone will.
Right.
So SW. So, you know, you remember that. Some will, some won't. So what? Someone will.
Right.
It's important to keep going on.
Right.
It took me a long time to stabilize my career. It's going to take time. If you want a normal 9-to-5 stability, then, you know, there's no harm in it.
Right.
You can go and find a normal job. But if you are in the sports industry, be ready for the ups and downs. Approach your life like a sports person's life.
Right.
There will be ups and downs. There will be pressure. There will be hurdles. But it will be worth it when you overcome all that.
Right.
The satisfaction that you will get, because if you go for a 9-to-5 and find stability, what if there is a time where you think, you know what, I could have done this or I could have done that? And to have that single-minded focus and determination, and nothing short of 100% effort is going to help.
Right.
You have to have that 100% effort. And if the overall journey looks a little too big, it looks a little difficult, break it down. I think this has helped me. My only goal getting up every day is to be better than I was yesterday.
Right.
And it works. I used to think it's just a thing. It's a cliche, but it works.
Right.
You you go to the gym, try to be better than yesterday. You have some work to do, try to do it better than yesterday.
Right.
And then you will find at the end of the day, like, and this is something that I learned really late. It's only recently that I've picked this up. I've started realizing that I'm going to bed a lot happier. Right. Because when I look back at the day, I see that I've done everything I could. And when you do everything you can, that's it.
Yeah, you're satisfied.
Yeah, that's it. Because then things that aren't in your control will later fall into place. But what's in your control? Think about the next hour. Right. Sometimes the larger goal can be daunting.
Right.
But the short-term goal is not. Maybe the next hour, maybe today. Like this morning, and I would be very honest that there are times, there are lows. I wake up in the morning and I feel, you know, what's happening? You know, I can do this. I should have done this. I should have done that. It still happens to me.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be a monk or a Baba here and say that I've overcome all that. No, I've not. I do go through that. But for example, this morning, I had similar thoughts.
Right.
And reason I'm sharing this is because a lot of students will be listening to this. I had these thoughts. A lot of people may think, why is Nishad having those thoughts? He's done so well.
Right.
He's got these avenues. Yes, but everybody has those. I told myself, you know, okay, fine. What have I got to look forward to today? It's this podcast.
Right.
I came here happily.
Right.
And
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah. I hope I've had a great time. I hope you've had as well. And our people behind the screen as well. But I was looking forward to this today. Now, after this, I have a meeting. I'm looking forward to that.
Right
now, you know, during one of the breaks, I saw that someone called. It's for a project that I'm working. They said they want to talk to me. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Right.
So I have gotten 3 things done today already.
Right.
And then when I'll go back, I'll have my dinner. I'm relaxing.
Right.
So it's all good. I've looked back and seen that these things are done. So important to break it down into these things and try to find something that you look forward to. Some days there isn't something, but then those days I look forward to something as simple as going to the gym.
Right.
And then maybe reading a book to improve my knowledge.
Right.
So there is an anecdote that I'd like to share. Sorry if it's getting a little long.
Please.
Yeah. Rahul Dravid, VVS Lakshman have had 2 huge partnerships in Test cricket. They've had others, but 2 stand out. In 2001, India won the Kolkata Test. Rahul and VVS
after
had that brilliant following on.
Yeah.
They had that brilliant partnership, backs to the wall in Adelaide in 2003. Another great partnership in the first innings when they were 80 for 4 or something.
Yes.
I think that was a 303 run partnership. Rahul Dravid got 233, VVS got 148.
Wow.
In Kolkata.
Really surprising how you remember.
I have a memory thing, so I remember. And VVS got 281 in Kolkata, and Rahul Dravid got 180. So those partnerships, and I read somewhere that they broke it down.
Right.
Like it all started with them going ball by ball, over by over. After they got set, then period of play, then a session. And they built those partnerships, broke it down. Had they thought, oh my God, we are 300 odd runs in arrears. How are we going to overcome this? Adelaide would not have happened. Or, oh my God, we are following on. If we get out, we are going to lose.
Over.
They broke it down. And because they broke it down, they were focusing on the next thing. And the next. And the next ball. And the next ball. And because of that,
it built over time.
Yeah. And I think we all must learn from that and try to approach our life like that.
True. I think anybody who sees this podcast will definitely understand the value of turning up every day and doing what you do every day, you know. And maybe you won't be able to do 100% every day, but it's about putting at least 10% every day. And that over a period of time builds into something substantial.
Not 10%. It's your 100% on that day.
Right.
My 100% today will be very different from my 100% yesterday.
Right.
I'll be very honest. My 100% yesterday wasn't as good as today's 100%.
Right.
Because yesterday, maybe I wasn't feeling too well.
Right.
And I was a little tired. But then I decided I will go and do the best that I can. And that's a very simple thing.
Right.
And that's what I've learned from sport. That's what I've learned from sportspersons that I've spent time with. Okay. And I have implemented that in my life. And I would suggest everyone also do that.
I think,
and
yes.
Remember, the journey is never like this.
Right.
It's like this and, you know, but as long as you are there, like out nahi hona
hai. Right.
You know, innings bani rahe hai.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's I think great advice. I think yes. Personally, and also for the people watching, you know, I always find this connection, you know, I also as a purist, the love for the game. Sometimes you can't win the game, you know, in test cricket, you know, you just have to be there. And for somebody who started watching the game much later than you, of course, the 2019 or 2021 where India drew a series with Anuma Vihari and Ashwin.
You know, it's actually exactly 3 years to the day today.
Oh, wow.
When we are recording this.
Right.
Exactly 3 years to the day that Anuma Vihari and Ravichandran Ashwin had that great partnership in Sydney, and they batted out the whole of the last session and a bit of the previous.
Yeah.
And one of my memories of that is that it also taught me a lot, because at that time, and I'm sorry if I'm giving a lot of philosophy when it comes to the game, maybe a bit longer, but
I think personally I'm very
if I'm not making sense, people in the back, you can edit it out, of course. But here's the thing. 2021, we all have been through the COVID pandemic. We all are looking at life differently. I didn't know what was going to come next. If anything, my career was at a crossroad at that time.
Right.
I didn't even know if being in sport will be feasible. I had only decided to hang in there. And that tour that India had to Australia, that gave me a lot of strength.
Right.
You know, because that partnership, these guys refused to bail.
Yeah.
Australia came at them with everything.
Yeah.
They threw the kitchen sink at them. Sure. Ashwin had a back problem. He didn't budge. Anuma Vihari had torn his hamstring.
Blows on the body after.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I think he tore his hamstring. And imagine, in spite of that, he's going on to the front foot to defend Nathan Lyon.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine the pain that he went through. But they fought. And I remember watching that on the couch with my father. And I think watching cricket with my father has been... I may have watched cricket all over the world, but watching cricket with my dad is obviously very special.
Right.
My dad, who is an investor and a trader by profession, left his portal and came to watch the last 15 overs and was clapping every dot ball.
Yeah.
And it was just a symbol of strength that these guys showed us. And then India won in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And I came up with something after that, and I keep posting this on Instagram and I share it with myself, because that gives me a lot of strength that in life, anything can be your 36 all out of Adelaide. But it's up to you whether you rise up at Melbourne and win, whether you draw at Sydney, or whether you go on to win at Brisbane.
Right.
What did they do? They turned up.
That should be at the back of a car, honestly. I think it's really, you know, a great way to look at life.
Yeah.
As you were speaking, I think, you know, another thing that I want to conclude this with is, you know, we were talking about how sometimes people who are watching the game just question the commitment of the players. It is in times like this, you know, as somebody who's watched the game for a long time and as a purist, is where you understand the commitment is unquestionable. It's just on their day, they might not be able to perform, but you never question the commitment, right? It's great. I think I just want to end this off with the last question. You've been in the sports industry for 15 years now, and 15 years or more.
Actually, 13 now.
13 years. So you've seen a lot of cricket. You remember most of it. You remember all of it, as far as I'm concerned. The numbers you're bringing up is honestly surprising. So if you could, I know it'd be really difficult, but if you could bring it down to one memory, one cricketing memory on the field, off the field, in your career, or you, the game that you called, anything, but one thing that has stuck with you, it could be funny, or it could be something that, you know, made you a different person, or anything on that matter, just one instance that stands out in your illustrious career.
as long as I live,
right,
the 2011 World Cup is going to be special.
Right.
And that is because I decided at the time that I'm not going to continue to do law and I'm going to pursue something in sport.
Right.
I had just started writing about sport. And then I came down to Mumbai for the World Cup final. I was one of the lucky people to get a ticket. I had an exam in university, in law school. I bunked that and I came.
Wow.
My parents found out after I passed out.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't tell them at the time. And I came down to Mumbai, went for the final. It was like destiny. I was to be there. And I was just 10 seats away from where MS hit the last ball.
Wow.
Last ball. Yeah.
Wow.
So I've seen the ball.
Have you ever said this before? Because I've never seen you. Have you ever spoken about this?
I may have.
Okay.
I may have.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that day, I remember everything clearly.
Uh-huh.
And that whole campaign, in fact, you know, the Australia game is my favorite because India had lost the 2003 World Cup final to Australia.
Yeah.
And almost to the day, 23rd March 2003 was the final. 24th March 2011 was this game.
Okay.
India-Australia in Ahmedabad. And India won that game. I think that was a big thing because we had looked up to Australia,
yeah,
as this immovable force.
Of course, yeah.
And India managed to win that game. And I had the fortune of working with Suresh Raina later. And I think, I don't know how many times I would have thanked him for that.
Right.
Like, actually.
Right.
Because it meant something to me. When you get into commentary and when you get into sport, you become very neutral or you try to detach your emotions. And that's what's happened.
Right.
You'd still take inspiration. But 2011, that emotion was still there for me because I was starting off.
Right.
I had written, I remember, seven articles published.
Right.
And I'm going
before
around
the game.
Before the 2011 World Cup final.
Yeah.
And I was going around telling people I'm going to build a career in this.
Right.
And all I have to show is seven articles and no clear future in front of me.
Right.
In one of the premier law schools, and I come here and MS Dhoni hits that six. He, you know, and there are celebrations going on. And Sachin Tendulkar is someone who I looked up to since childhood.
Right.
And everyone wanted it for him because it was about the fact that he had chased it for so many years, an international career that was going into its 22nd year.
Right.
We all felt he deserved it. I mean, arguably the greatest batsman
ever
we have seen now.
True.
And when he walked out, the cheer he got, it was like your own dream that was fulfilled.
Right.
And I remember when, so he was taken on the shoulders by the players. It happened right in front of where I was sitting in that stand. It was the MCA Pavilion. And yeah, I remember my seat number also, J226.
Wow.
I'll never forget that. And Sachin being lifted on the shoulders. And it was the first time. I was just 20 and I cried of happiness the first time. I had never cried of happiness earlier. And I told myself, I'm going to definitely do something in sport.
Right.
That's it. Which is why that memory, that whole World Cup final, that day will always be special because it meant something for my life.
Right. And that was the start of a very illustrious career, I should say. Honestly, yeah, now that we've come to the end of all the questions, I would like to say it's been great that I've had to got the opportunity to interview you. But this is small thing that I want to say before we end this, from a personal point of view, while I was going through your entire LinkedIn profile and I was doing my research, I really saw, you know, personally that this is something that I want to do as well. And, you know, this is something that I want to take up as a career as well. So a lot of these questions, you know, a little personal questions that, you know, how did you manage to overcome this from a law school? And I'm somebody who came from a science background. I'm here. I did my bachelor's.
It's okay. It's both of us. I did science in 11, 12.
Wow. Yes.
I used to fail in physics, chemistry and maths.
Math. So looking at the game from a viewer point of view, the passion about it and, you know, trying to bring it into a career, you know, there's a huge huge step up. So looking at how you've done it has really brought in motivation and inspiration to me, and I'm definitely sure our audience as well, when they look at this, will definitely get some motivation. It could be into sports or could be anything, but I think your life is a true example that if you have the belief, and if you really can't see where you're going, but you can just see the next step, take that step. And just thank you for being on the show, sir, and you know, enlightening us with your career and about everything that we've spoken about.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for your kind words. But there is a long journey ahead,
right,
and there are different challenges to overcome, different mountains to scale for everyone. And yeah, I think it's just, you know, we have to keep chasing,
right,
keep chasing it, and you know, that's what it is for me as well.
Right. So as we come to the end of this informative yet fun podcast, first of all, I would like to thank Nishit sir. But audience, we have a set of more guests who are going to be coming on shows. And as Nishit sir has, you know, informed us about the media manager perspective, we have a lot more guests who are, you know, more well-versed in different topics. It might be sports broadcasting or, you know, stuff related to sports. So we have a huge lineup, you know, that's going to be released eventually. So stay tuned.
We have Pankaj Athavale. Stay tuned for that show because it's going to be really, really fun. He is one of the most amazing people that I know. He's got a great perspective on life and, of course, sports media. Had the good fortune of, you know, sharing the commentary box with him. So Pankaj is one that I'll really be looking forward to listening to. And then you've got Bhavesh and Vishnu. They'll be talking from a commercial perspective. Vishnu sir has, you know, been around for quite a while. He is very entrepreneurial, and there's a lot to learn from his approach to life. And Bhavesh as well, I think there's so much energy in everything that he does. He also has a big pool of knowledge. He played the game himself.
Right.
So Bhavesh is another dear friend. So I'm really looking forward to listening to some of the people that have been around the sports industry, but I've also been very fortunate to know them on a personal level.
Right. I'm sure y'all also will be very interested in keeping up with, you know, the big words that Nishat sir has just said. So to catch us, you can tune into ISM's page on Spotify or YouTube, and you can also get updates on our Instagram handle at ISM. So it's been great. A final thank you, sir, and stay tuned, guys. Thank you.